So, Kristen, you asked Rhode Island's Department of Health to crunch some data for you about diabetes among Latinos. What they found was pretty surprising. First of all, why did you go after this data?
So I wanted to tell a story about health disparities, and I thought diabetes would be a really good lens through which to see what's happening, because it's a chronic disease that can affect anyone from any background, but it disproportionately affects people of color and people in poverty. That's a health disparity. And I know that's a pretty wonky term, but basically it means the difference in health between groups from different racial, ethnic, or socioeconomic backgrounds. And when there's a disparity, it means something is going wrong. It means people of color, people who live in poverty, usually are either not getting the health care they need or they're at higher risk for certain health conditions than other groups. And these disparities exist all over the place, but especially when it comes to chronic diseases like diabetes.
So just what is the disparity when it comes to Latinos and diabetes? What were you expecting and what did the health department uncover?
Well, I knew rates of diabetes among Latinos would be higher, but they found that the rate of diabetes has gone up much faster among Latinos over the past few years than among any other group. Diabetes rates for blacks in Rhode Island are still higher, but the increase for Hispanics has been steeper.
That's surprising because more people have health insurance now, and there are education and diabetes prevention programs available in a lot of places. Kristen Gourlay, are those programs just unavailable to Latinos, or is something else going on here?
Well, I spoke to a researcher from the Mayo Clinic, Dr. Victor Montori. I want to play you a little tape. He says, you can educate people and tell them to go to the Y and exercise all you want, but that individualized approach isn't going to get at the root of the problem, and that is socioeconomic inequality. In other words, Latinos are more likely to live in poverty, and that's true here in Rhode Island, to not have health insurance and to live in conditions that just aren't conducive to a healthy lifestyle. Here he is.
There's something very abstract and sterile about socioeconomic status. It sounds like a scientific description of what is a profound daily lived experience of people feeling that they're second-class citizens, that they don't belong, that the systems that are in place not only are not for them, but they're against them. The feeling that there is a saber-toothed tiger coming at you all the time, that health state is not a health state that is going to make you healthy in the long run. And we can't solve that by identifying people with high blood sugar and sending them to the Y.
So in other words, what we've been doing to identify people at risk of developing diabetes or people who have diabetes is checking their blood sugar in a clinic, maybe prescribing medication and telling them to eat healthier and exercise. Montori says that is the wrong approach. Public health needs to address social and economic inequalities to really make a dent in this problem.
That sounds like a goal that would be pretty hard to achieve in the short term. Are there efforts to address this increase in diabetes for Latinos in the shorter term?
Yeah, there are quite a few. And in the stories you'll be hearing from me in the next couple of weeks, we'll visit some of those programs. I think there's growing awareness that obesity, which is one of the major risk factors for developing diabetes, is becoming a big problem everywhere, not just here in the U.S., but in Latin America, too. And awareness is a great first step towards solving a problem.
Kristen Gourlay covers healthcare for Rhode Island Public Radio. Kristen, we look forward to these stories from you.
Thanks so much.